Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, July 5th, 2021, and this is episode 230 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook like we do every week. And I don't know, boys, I had a pretty good 4th of July. Happy 5th of July, I guess. How are you guys doing?
I hate 4th of July. I think it sucks. my dog America. Is scared all night, and fires break out all over the country. Actually, apparently there's every 4th of July, there's a spike in dogs who run away from home because they're so scared by the sound of fireworks. They don't know where to go, and if they're not properly chained up, they take off, and then they never come back. So, fuck that holiday.
No, that happened out here. I mean, our dog gets a little spooked. Not like our first dog, man. She just peed the whole house, like, all night long. But yeah, we've already seen the stories already in our local neighborhood of dogs jumping the fences and getting hit by cars, and it's just
put them inside. So what I do, and this worked pretty well this year, I have these like doggy meds that are supposed to be for if I take them on a flight. So I just make sure I give him some of those before, and like they didn't kick in for a while, so he was freaked out, and it sucked because I went out to like take him out for his last time. Like I was like, okay, it's not dark yet, let's go out for his last little walk or whatever. And right as I go outside, like some jerk off, like down the street, right just starts there. Popping off. And I'm like, now he's not going to go to the bathroom. And like, he's trying to like drag me back into the house. But then I got to watch the Giants win. So then it was a good night. But
that's right.
It started rough for sure.
Rough. No pun intended.
Right. Rough. Yeah, my Millie was a puppy last year for the 4th, so this year was her first year that she was really reacting to fireworks, and she wasn't bad at all. She didn't do anything in the house. She didn't need any of my allergy pills. She didn't come out on the balcony for like 2 hours, but we're just far enough away from the strip that the Giant show, we couldn't see it. I watched it on CNN or something, but it was... It's the same thing. We all have dogs. That's kind of funny that we all dealt with the fireworks and the things like that.
I feel like, when it's like New Year's Eve, like, does everybody go outside and set up like a big ball and drop it themselves? Like, just let the pros do the fireworks. Why do we all have to, have our own little fireworks display in our backyard? Yeah.
In my little town, they still allow the safe and sane, quote-unquote, fireworks. Mm. And we usually get the small pack of them, and the kids do, like, sparklers and a couple of small ones. But, man, the whole freaking city goes off with the illegal stuff. And, it's just – I don't get the thrill of it either. It's illegal, and it's, like, something that gives them a rise. But other than that – it's expensive. You don't know the safety of it, whatever. Bunch of a-holes lighting it up weekend.
In California right now, it's just a bad time to be shooting off fireworks.
I know, right?
It's like, let's not set the state on fire for one summer. Just one summer. Let's just not do that.
It'd be nice. And now we're going to see it for the next week or so. But we are here to not only celebrate the 245th birthday of America. Who cares about that? Let's talk about the Giants. Let's talk about their last week. They went 3-3 on their road trip, 3-2 since we last recorded because we were kind of in between the LA series. But sandwiched in there was a season-high 4-game losing streak. Oh, no, everybody panic. The sky is falling. But unfortunately, that streak has coincided with a still-active 9-game winning streak for the Dodgers. So last week, we were talking about a 3.5-game lead, and it's evaporated all the way down to a half-game lead. However, Giants still have the best record in baseball, and they've come back and since won 3 in a row against Arizona. Thank you, Arizona. So right at the halfway mark a couple of days ago, after 81 games, they sat at 51 wins, which puts them at a forecast of 102. And, of course, they've won 2 games since then. So This team keeps blowing away expectations, on pace to win over 100. They're doing well. And look, every team is going to lose 3, 4, 5 games in a row, once or twice, maybe even 3 times during the season. So it was definitely not a reason to panic. They got healthy against Arizona, took 3 out of 4, and now they're coming back home where they've been a little bit better than on the road, but the road record has been great. But I don't know. I kind of wanted to, you know, ask you, Willie, first. Was there any sense of, not panic, obviously, but concern when they lost those two and, you know, there's 4 in a row, I should say?
Yes, for sure. It was just the first time this season where we've had that feel, right? Oh no, here they come. Cause it's kind of felt like, you know, no matter what the Dodgers and Padres have done, the Giants have always been like weathered that storm. And I guess you could say we did again. We still have the half game lead, but it definitely felt like, okay, yeah, this is what everyone was waiting for. Dodgers are going to get hot. The Giants are going to finally come back down to earth. But I looked ahead. Here's why I didn't panic. I looked at the schedule and I said, what's happening at the beginning of July? Like, 4 games with Arizona. Okay. We'll be just fine. And also, I mean, following up with St. Louis, not like St. Louis is a pushover, but I mean, they're an under 500 team. So I feel like, you know, I felt like good times are around the corner. We really just need the Dodgers to just stop already. Yeah. And obviously, I don't know how much you guys want to talk about it with Bauer no longer playing right now. It feels like at some point they got to lose a game, right? Like, so I don't know. 9 in a row is crazy, but that's what's more concerning rather than the Giants losing those 4. Because you knew at some point it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, what about you, Eric?
I was frustrated watching the Dodgers series because it was one of those things where the Giants didn't show up. They just didn't show up. They hit a few bombs here and there to keep the score close. And the pitching showed up, but the hitting didn't show up. With the hitting with runners in scoring position, what were they, 0 for 13?
Well, the hitting showed up not once. We didn't put them in bunches, right?
Right.
Like, we actually got a lot of
solo
hits.
Solo shots and all that stuff. There was traffic on the bases the whole time, but they could never cash in.
Yeah.
While the Dodgers seemed to be able to cash in on that one or two little opportunity that they were given. You know, the Dodgers would cash in a walk with a homer. The Giants would cash in a walk with another base hit and then stranding those two runners after an out, you know, 2 more outs. So I was a bit concerned. I said it last show at the end. I kind of, that old Giants fan creeps into my head and says, oh no, is this the moment where it all falls apart? And so I was a little bit concerned about that. And all I have to say for how they bounce back is thank goodness for the D-backs. I mean, honestly, thank goodness the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the Giants division because they were able to get back on track. And so, like Willie mentioned, this week with the schedule ahead, the Cardinals are struggling right now. The Nats are also struggling right now. So the Giants could very well just keep the regular pace they've been running at instead of falling into a hole. The schedule works out well for them. I mean, again, thank goodness for the Diamondbacks, because that Dodger series, it left a bad taste in your mouth. And after the first loss to Arizona, you're kind of like, oh, no, please don't be something.
And yeah, wasn't. Yeah. Because at that point, I'm thinking, oh, man, unless they win 3 in a row, they're going to split against Arizona, which normally splitting on the road is great. But you already lost 2 in a row to L.A. in the first game of this series. So you're thinking, man, a split with Arizona is not satisfactory. They got to win 3 out of 4. And they did. They've won 3 in a row. But back to that L.A. series, we last recorded after game 1 when they were 0-13 with runners in scoring position. And we were talking about how just one hit would have won the game for them. You know, certainly 2 hits could have. This game, they lost, 3-1? Same thing. They were 0-6 with runners in scoring position. So they're 0-19 over 2 games against L.A. And they lost games by 1 and 2 runs. And Gausman himself, who, of course, suffered his second loss of the year against Buehler, he was unfortunately very erratic in that first inning where he walked to hit a guy, bases loaded with 2 outs, and then there was a double to knock in 2 runs. And then later he allowed a solo shot. But that was really, the damage was done because that's all the Dodgers needed. And it was just kind of this alignment of the Giants got traffic. They got pretty good pitching, but it only took one bad inning from Gausman, and it took another 0-6 for the Giants to lose. They're on that razor's edge, and when you're against a good team like the Dodgers, those missed opportunities make those huge 2-game swings, right? Because if they just split that series, they have a 2.5 game lead right now. Mm-hmm. If they take that series, they got a 4.5 game lead right now. So everyone's big. So now they're 3-6 against the Dodgers, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the first game we had 11 hits, you know, so and we scored 2 runs. And the Dodgers scored 3 on 5 hits because it was every run was scored on a solo home run the entire game. It was just a weird, like, to me, I don't look at that game and go, the offense didn't show up. I look at that game and I go, this is a statistical anomaly. This kind of game isn't going to happen.
That kind of was. It kind of was. It just was bad timing. Yeah.
For sure. It's just how baseball kind of works. You know what I mean? Like things, it's weird. Baseball's a weird sport, man. And, you know, game to game, there's just, it's just bizarre. It's like you couldn't put, 15 guys in scoring position again and like not have them get one single dink, like, you know, a ground ball to a hole, like something, right?
Ground ball with eyes.
Yeah. But somehow it just never happened in that game. And then we lose 3-2. And then the next game, like you said, the pitching was we gave up 3 runs in either game. The Giants' output this year would suggest that we would win at least one of those games, right? But somehow we only can put 2-1 up. So, like, I look at that little 2-game thing and I go, it's whatever. This is like this one is kind of just like, baseball happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when we lose to Arizona, now you're like, okay, this is a real skid. And luckily, like, the runs came back in bunches. So now it feels like, okay, no, we're. This is just how it works. Like, we're going to have some bad games, but we're always going to kind of climb back in. So it really does feel to me. It's weird. Like, I know only a half game up on the Dodgers. I should be like freaking out about it, but I'm kind of like, nah, we're fine. I don't know. It's just the way this season feels.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is that there's still 9 games left against the Dodgers. So the Giants still have the opportunity to, you know, maybe take 5 or 6 of those, right? Kind of even the season series. But again, as we sit halfway through the season, and, you know, I know I am. I'm completely impressed and surprised by this team, not only where they are, but look at where they are in the wild card standings. We were just talking about this pre-show. I knew they had a pretty commanding lead in the hypothetical lead over the wild card. Cincinnati would be the next closest team in the wild card. The Giants are 10 games ahead of the Reds. I mean, it's really going to take a monumental collapse by the Giants or an insane surge by the Reds or one of these other teams to displace them from the playoff picture. I just, you know, so if you told me that it's almost a lock for the Giants at least to be in the playoffs. I mean, that's amazing. That's gravy to me.
Yeah.
If they win the West, you know.
But none of us would have predicted that at the beginning of the season. So, you know, you still got to feel good about where the Giants are at right now. And then, of course, yeah, 3 in a row. Now we got the Cardinals and you know, it's like the end of this next month looks pretty rough. But until then, we should stay fairly healthy. So then it feels like there's just not enough time for us to not get there. Do you know what I mean? At that point.
Yeah.
Well, not only do they need to stay healthy, they're going to get healthier, too, because all these guys that have been hurt are going to start coming back, like Longoria.
You remember Longoria?
Sure LaStella will pop up out of somewhere. They're going to have to make a decision on Beattie here soon. Logan Webb should be coming back. I'm sure I'm missing somebody because that's how deep the Giants have been.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, the total next man. I should just go look at the roster. It's the total, you know, next man up mentality that they've had. Talkman, well, whatever. you know, certain guys still have to come back. But, you know, that's why I agree with you, Willie. You get that feeling of this is just a team. You know, they're just a good team. We're just going to ride it out.
Everything's going to be fine.
They're going to be hovering with the Dodgers all year long. So if they fall a game or two back at one point, it's not any reason to panic. You know, it's when they fall 5 and 6 and 7 games back that it's time to panic. When you get a week behind, then it's an issue. But as long as everything stays in with the handful of games, you know, right around 2-3 down, 2-3 up, you know, extend it when you can. And, you know, it's why it's good they got out of the funk after 4 straight losses. Cause I mean, these Dodgers with this 9
well,
straight, this is ridiculous.
This is the thing. we gave ourselves enough cushion to weather that 4-game losing streak. You know what I mean? We've had a fairly large lead all season long. So, you know, I didn't expect them to win the West by 5 games, even at that point. Right. So I kind of knew at some point, all right, we're going to have to, you know, but we're going to have to get hot too. We still haven't reeled off, you know, 10 in a row. We've had a couple of nice whatevers, but it's mostly been like we win 5.
And that's the longest winning streak of the year. It's been done twice. I think it's twice. Yeah. With 5. So it's it. And we talked about this before, until their 4-game losing streak. Of course, the longest was 3. It's consistency. This team is not subject to streaks. They're just consistent. Every week is kind of a winning record, right? Going 4-2, 5-3, whatever. They're just consistent. And that's what's nice about this team is that we don't have an expectation of a major slump. Could they lose 5 or 6 in a row at some point? Yeah, of course. Any team can. But at the same time, you know, even if they go 500 the rest of the year, that still puts them at like 92, 93 wins, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
If they go 500, do we have expectations because of their track record now of a half season? No, I expect them to be at least a few games above 500. So I think shooting for, you know, 95, 96, 97 wins is well within their grasp, despite them being on pace to be 103 wins, because that's, you know, I'm still not expecting that. But yeah, mid-90s. Well, I know, right?
It keeps happening.
I mean, like Eric was said, we are going to get healthier unless, you know, something else. We also Buster Posey take a kind of a wicked ball off his hand yesterday. But, Posey didn't seem to be making a big deal out of it. I don't know if do we have any news on that today? Nothing that I've heard. Anyway.
Just all I've heard is that he's not going to be in the lineup today.
Okay.
Well, so I think it's a day-to-day thing.
The problem is a hand thing sucks when you're one of the best hitters. You know what I mean?
It does.
But I mean, even like Belt, we don't know when he's going to come back. And Longoria.
Oh, he's the one I forgot. Belt.
Yeah. And then there's potential moves to be made at the deadline. Like we don't know exactly what this team's going to look like. They could be better in the second half than they've been in the first half, which is weird to say, but you know, it's very realistic, man. It's very realistic.
So, of course, one of the taglines the Giants came up with this year is hashtag resilient SF. It was kind of a dorky one, but I got to admit, it's been pretty apropos this year, and they were resilient.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm dabbing
this year. Like, we're doing all sorts of dorky stuff this year.
No, right? Just, here we go.
Well, I wonder if Crawford misses Longo. They seem to be dab partners.
That's right. But, you know, they shake off the two-game series. They're like, don't worry, we'll bounce back off. Boom, they lose right away. Cueto just didn't have the shimmy like he did in the first full open home opener, basically, the last start he had. He was a little wonky. They lost 5-3 in that first game. And yeah, like we said at the top of the show, we were getting a little concerned, but they remembered they were in Arizona. And they remembered who the Diamondbacks were, a team with already 60 losses. So they went ahead and won the next three. They started with game two with a pretty convincing 11-4 win. Alex Wood settled down a little bit. He's been pretty chaotic and erratic his last 5 or 6 starts. 5 innings, 2 earned runs. Homers by Dickerson and Wade. And then Thairo Estrada, who was just called up. And I wanted to hear your thoughts for a second as I call up this highlight. Eric talked about this in our last show, and then it happened almost right away, like right after the show. Mauricio Dubon was sent down and Estrada was called up. So, yeah, what say you, Eric? Did you like this move? I obviously you did.
Yep, I obviously did. I thought it was time to give Thairo a chance, and this was his first start with the Giants. It was the first time he wasn't brought in, and it was a 3-hit game, too. Mm-hmm. So he definitely looks ready out there. He already works at bats better than Dubon ever could. He works the count a lot better. He definitely is willing to take a walk, and he doesn't swing outside of his own zone. So I'm impressed with what I've seen from this kid so far. I'm a kid, and he's 25, but still, you know, he's a kid to us.
Well, again, I was looking back on Yankees fan blogs, and they really had high hopes for this kid, and I guess it just didn't materialize. But a lot of times it takes just going to a different environment, right? And I'm not saying this guy is going to be fantastic or anything, but I think he didn't strike out till his 12th plate appearance or at bat. So, I mean, he's showing a lot of discipline right now, which is fantastic. But here's a highlight. Coming up in the top of the ninth with 2 outs, bases juice, Giants already up by 3 runs. He's like, McGee and Rogers, sit down. I got your back.
He swings and hits a high drive, deep left field. Welcome to the Giants, Thairo Estrada. A grand slam. Wow. His first Giants home run.
And he just kind of put his head down. He didn't like celebrate much or anything.
No, he was good. Yeah. He kind of just.
It's like he's hit a million of those before.
Right.
Looks like he's been there. Yeah, first career Grand Slam. So slam that sucker out of here. So anyway, that gave the Giants a little bit of breathing.
They must have been listening to the show live last week, and you know, Farhan was like, you know, I've been hearing these kind of rumblings, so let's give Estrada a shot.
Yeah, it was literally, we stopped recording. I went and sat down, opened my iPad, and I was like, oh, Dubon went down. Wow. What do you know?
I know. It was like right away. I know. It was so fast. So, yeah, look, Dubon is a great kid. I like his energy and his spirit, but and he's got some good raw talent. It's
sure
he's erratic and dangerous, and he needs some refinement. Exactly.
I mean, let him go.
The baseball IQ is a little low.
Let him go beat up on some AAA pitches for a while and get some confidence back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he looked a little outmatched towards the end of that run.
He's done that already. He had like a 4-hit game the other day.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. He's like a quadruple A player right now. You know what I mean? And so, you know, maybe next year will be the breakout season for Dubon. Or maybe later this year he comes back up and he really helps after September.
Or maybe he becomes a tradable asset, you know,
and maybe. Who knows?
Becomes the backup infielder. I mean, there's going to be some questions to be answered when Listella gets back around the infield. So,
So game three, the Giants jump out to a 4-0 lead and things are looking good for Long, who started, but he just kind of lost it. Suddenly the Diamondbacks tied it up, then took a lead with an unearned run, 5-4. We fast forward to the eighth inning. Things are not looking fantastic for the Giants, and we're thinking, oh man, the best they're going to do maybe a split here. And so we talked about this last week, the questionable pinch hitting arrangements that he made with like a Casale going up, and we're like, why not Slater, right? You know, or one of these other guys. And we all know Slater's been in a little bit of a slump, but he's also had some dramatic pinch-hit home runs this year. He hadn't hit an extra base hit since late, May, I guess it was. He didn't have a single one in all of June. So, well, he did go to Slater here in the top of the eighth with two outs and two strikes, down by a run. Here's what Slater
Giants did. Down by a run, eighth inning. The ball is hit deep.
Oh, my God.
Left center field. Way back there. Adios! Pelota!
I got to say, I think Casale could hit that pitch, too, by the way.
You might have been able to, Willie. I don't know.
That was a meatball.
You saw that. Watch the pitcher reaction right here. I know. Just.
I mean, look, we were talking about why not Slater, and then I was looking, and I was like, oh, Slater's only hitting 200. So it's not like he's, you know, destroying Casale as far as numbers go. But
four for his last 41 heading into that at bat. 0 for like his last 13. You're right, Chad. No extra base hits in the month of June. But to be fair to Slater, and he didn't start this game when he hit this homer, but he only started like five games in June total.
He didn't have a lot of at bats.
When they don't face lefties, he doesn't get to hit. And apparently, if he doesn't get his, you know, regular at bats, he doesn't keep his rhythm. But that was, I mean, that's the way to break out of a slump. They projected a 482, I think, at first, and then they adjusted it to 463. And that was the longest homer by a Giant this year for the moment was that homer. And it was just, I mean, you want to break out of something like that. He didn't even smile running around the bases. He smiled more the next day when he hit one than he did that first one. That just, he got the monkey off his back. I mean,
I think the first one was just relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So then
it was huge. Like you were saying, that game felt like the momentum had completely shifted out of the Giants' favor. And it was like that was the first game of the year I felt like I was going to turn off. Because it was like this, really? And thank God I didn't, by the way.
They weren't putting together good at-bats during that game.
No, it just felt, it felt like we were never going to score again after the four. What was it, four in the third or something like that? And I was like, that was it. That was fun, I guess. But it was a welcome moment.
Two strikes and two outs. Those two out hits, they've been the key to life. They were against Arizona this whole series.
Hey, we'll take it against Arizona, but we really could have used that against L.A. But,
It's just one. Just one freaking two
just
out.
Just one.
All it
just
needed.
Just one of those.
So they show up yesterday with Tony Disco, Descalfani, getting the win. He almost got the complete game, but he went 8 2/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 Ks. He ran into a little bit of trouble in the ninth, so they called in Rogers, who nailed down the save. But you had homers by Slater again, Ruff, And then, of course, we talked about Posey getting hit on a foul ball with a bruised thumb. So he's not going to be in the lineup for the Cards today. But the reason I'm bringing up Slater's highlight again is because apparently he doesn't hit these often. But when he does, he hits them into the stratosphere.
It's about a three-hour drive north of Phoenix, maybe a little longer. Austin Slater might have done it again. He launched that one. Aiming for the same spot. Wow.
That was a changeup.
I mean, so he put look at the location again. I mean, if you leave it up to a big league hitter.
Yeah.
He provided all the power there, though. You know what I mean? That wasn't some 99 he turned around and all the power was generated from the pitch. That was 81 and he just hit a mile.
No, he got both cheeks into it, as Kruko would say. By the way, I did just look here. Apparently, the x-rays are negative on Posey's hand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they were negative yesterday, which was good news. We'll just see how long he has to take off. Hopefully just a few days. So
that anyway, home run was farther than the home run from the night before. Slater hit the longest home run of the season, and then the very next day, it did it again.
It's
funny because that was the only non-two-out hit of the game yesterday. Posey and Ruff put together a nice rally in the first there when Posey singled to drive in Slater. And then Ruff hit that double to the gap. That Posey single to drive in Slater in the first, that was a hit with a runner in scoring position. As soon as they drove him in, it already felt like it was going to be the Giants' day. So they looked like their normal selves a lot more yesterday than they had, you know, for the last week.
Yeah, and then Ruff also hit a big home run. The balls were flying out in there. And we know that they do. But, my God, I have not seen him go to that actual walkway back there in left center. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm thinking whenever Slater's a free agent, Diamondbacks might be calling the agent.
I know, right? You like hitting here, huh?
Yeah. Why don't you come down to the Southwest here? All right, so they get out of Arizona, finish the road trip, even Steven at 3-3, so that's acceptable. Just not acceptable. They got swept by the Dodgers. They're coming home, of course, going to face the Cards, actually in about a little less than 3 hours or so. Well, let's talk about All-Stars. We knew that Buster Posey made it as a voted-in starter by the fans, and All-Stars reserves were announced a couple of days ago. And as expected, Brandon Crawford and Kevin Gausman made it. I don't think there was any snubs on the Giants. I think Discofani had a case if he didn't have that one horrendous start against the Dodgers where he gave up 10 earned runs, because his ERA right now is like a 2.81 or 2.8. It's 2.84 right now. I think without that start, his ERA is like 1.9 or something like that. It's like close to Gausman's, and he would have had a case. But Disco still sitting at 9-3 and 2.84. I mean, it's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, no, he looked real sharp yesterday. The Crawford, I think, was a little unexpected, but I definitely knew that Gausman was going to be there, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we fully expected Crawford, only in the sense of, like, he was in the final three.
A reserve, Yeah.
Not as a star. We knew there's no way he's beating out Tatis. I mean, Tatis is MLB's poster child right now, you know? Like, he's kind of like Jeter now, getting all the votes no matter what. But, hey, you know, it's cool.
Baez didn't even make it a shortstop. Crawford beat out Baez. Trey Turner is the other shortstop that's going from the National League. You have to wonder if Posey decides to sit the game out with a sore thumb, but he goes and has the festivities. Gausman is slated to pitch the Sunday before the All-Star game, so he is not pitching in the All-Star game.
He will not.
And so they might replace him on the roster with somebody like Anthony DeSclafani. It's totally possible that T-Bone becomes an All-Star this year. And I would think Tyler Rogers also has a case to be an All-Star this year. I mean, I know he maddens and frustrates us sometimes, but his stats are good. All around his stats just come out and shake out good compared to the other relievers. The problem is the guys that were left off the NL roster, it's like Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Anthony DeSclafani. It's going to be really, really hard to crack through against those guys.
That's the problem, right? And, you know, I don't know how these all-star selections work in terms of guys who are going to skip the game for whatever reason, like a pitcher that's started on Sunday or a Posey or someone who has a lingering injury or someone has like, hey, look, I got my kid's being born. Whatever the reason is, I always wondered if there's any conversation with that said player, you know, saying, hey, look, I'm on the fence of playing. If I don't play, are you guys going to put in, you know, Rodgers or DeSclafani? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there's ever any of that, or if it's just if it's just a black wall. It's just nothing. There's no communication. They just wait for the player's decision no matter what, and then the league moves forward. Because it is the manager's decision at that point on who they're going to select.
I think the league gets involved a little bit too now in those decisions. I think through, like, this year, it'll be Dave Roberts, you know, again. Mm-hmm. And so he probably talks to the league and, you know, submits, you know, a list of guys that they would go in order. And then you got to wonder how they put that is a good question. You know, like, yeah. Okay, you're losing a Giant, so can we put another Giant back on the team? Because every team's already represented. We've already got that covered. So it's not like we have to plug any real gaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm looking at Rodgers' stats, and you're right. Like, he definitely has a case. 1.35 ERA, 0.95 WHIP. No losses on the record. So, you know,
he's been dominant. So
he's pitched 40 innings. It's not like it's a small sample size.
That's exactly it, too. He's thrown a ton of games. He's probably up there. I don't even know in the appearance leaders. He's got to be this year. You know, in the top 5 or 10. Guys leading in appearances, so maintain that good consistency. That to me, it's kind of all-star worthy.
He's just not he's not like a shutdown closer kind of guy. Also, because he's not our everyday closer, it looks like he's flying under the radar a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't come in and like drop some nasty slider on everybody that nobody can hit. He comes in there and he throws that little dookie up there and nobody can make solid contact, right? He might give up a single, seeing eye single, but
it's like backyard wiffle ball. Remember. I know.
I can't remember the last time somebody squared one up on him, honestly. Yeah.
The Dodgers series. Like, I think the last time was when we got frustrated with him for giving up stuff against the Dodgers. And then every outing after that for like the next three, we're like, oh no. And then he never gives up hard contact again.
Everything is these dribblers or humpbacks.
They swing as hard as he throws it, basically. That's what happens.
Yeah, pretty much. We don't have time to go over the entire roster, but I just wondered, it's an unusual year because now you have Shohei Ohtani getting voted in as basically, I know, designated hitter, but he's eligible to pitch and he's participating in the home run derby. That's freaking crazy, dude. Man, there's a possibility, and believe me, I'm sure MLB is thinking about it because they're marketing and how many eyeballs they want on the game. He's going to be in the home run derby. He's definitely going to be a hitter in the lineup. He might pitch too. That's crazy.
I mean, that would be a sweet story, right? To have him throw one inning, get a couple at bats, and then win the home run derby too.
Yeah.
This is going to be the most watched home run derby and the most watched all-star game in history because of him.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be tuning in across the international market. Yeah, for sure. It's going to be crazy. So no, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I look forward to watching Ohtani.
Yeah. Now, for sure.
How he technically did qualify in both spots too. Right. So
yeah,
it's not even like they'd have to do some weird rule bending thing or whatever. Like
Yeah, he qualified in both spots. So I can't imagine a scenario where he's not going to pitch. But, you know, you never know, because the game now is no longer about home field advantage for the World Series. It's back to pure exhibition status. So the manager doesn't have any pressure on him for winning the game. So but there is pressure to try and get most of the guys in, but certainly to get some of the big names in. And I'm sure that, you know, he's going to make a sixth inning relief appearance or something. All right,
here's the Giants win everything scenario is Ohtani, when he does actually get his home run, he hits it off Melanson. Melanson tailspins in the second half of the season. The Padres completely fall off the face of the earth. And Ohtani just destroys them. And then all we have to worry about is the Dodgers.
That's it.
That's it. You know, that's all.
Let's have it happen, baby.
I'm wondering if they're going to make a rule, because Ohtani getting voted in as the designated hitter, and then he's going to come into pitch, and you can't make the American League lose the designated hitter in the All-Star game. You know, you just can't. It's just not something that you need to be doing.
Yeah, to make pitchers go hit.
So they're going to have to make some sort of special rule or start Ohtani. But even then, it like kills the DH.
Well, they'd have to start him and then move him to like left field or first base or something, right? Isn't that what right. they have to do?
Yeah, they would. And then maybe replace him. And I still, yeah. but then somebody else would have to DH because anybody that replaces him takes over his spot in the lineup.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make a special rule. I'll bet you that's what happens this year.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Eric. I didn't think about that because, yeah, you can move into left field, but you still have to vacate the DH spot.
Right.
Like, it's all gone no matter what. So
you're not going to do that. It's the freaking All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah, I highly doubt it. So, well, maybe that's what happens. Maybe he just, you know how every year there's like one or two guys on each side that basically plays the whole game? Maybe we'll see that. Maybe he'll just stay in the entire game and then they'll throw him in to pitch the eighth or the ninth. And therefore they don't, you know, lose that game.
Oh, so like lose the DH spot at the very end of the game? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's that but then he would, you know, it kind of
yeah, because if he DHs you know? The whole game, then yeah, he gets like his three at bats or whatever. And yeah, then they have him come in for the eighth or ninth. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, but then he's not going to get time to warm up, and the Angels are going to be worried about him getting hurt. I'm telling you, they're going to have to make a special rule because he's going to like hit twice and then go jog out to the bullpen, warm up, and come in and like you said, the sixth or the seventh. But I think they're going to have to make a special. Because he does. He needs time to warm up. He can't just go out there and throw eight warm-up pitches, you know, after he hit three times without going to the bullpen. Yeah, that's
true. He'll go down in the tunnel and throw or something.
He'll have time. That's true. After his third at-bat, he'll go in and he'll warm up. You know what I mean? He'll have time.
It's an interesting little thing that's going to happen, though. That's, you know, All-Star game, I look forward to it every year. You know, this year they're wearing those stupid jerseys in the All-Star game.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Notes. Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed that the Dodgers have no starters. Which I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Because I thought that their whole team is All-Star.
Guys like Walker Buehler deserving, you know, Kershaw and
but like Muncy and Betts, I think were the ones that, you know, you would have assumed. Right. And then, of course, what's his face has been injured for a lot of the year. So, like, yeah, it's just weird. It's like they're the second best team in baseball. Right. And they you know, they got a couple guys on the reserves.
Their fans were lazy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
LA fans showed up in the third inning of All-Star voting and then they left in the seventh inning of All-Star voting. Yep.
All right, real quick review on injuries and transactions. Obviously, we talked about Mauricio Dubon going down and Tyro Estrada coming up. I'd totally forgotten about Justin Bour, but he signed to play in Korea with the Twins, so he's gone, which I don't think anyone's crying about. We did hear the news last week that Gregory Santos was suspended for 80 games for violating the drug policy. Logan Webb was sent to the minors for rehab assignment, and then Jalen Davis was recalled after being removed from the 60-day IL. And then Mike Tauchman was maybe graciously, shall we say, placed on the 10-day IL. I know he actually was hurt, but I think it corresponded well with some of these moves, with like a Jalen Davis coming up. So we'll see. They're holding on to Tauchman. He doesn't have any options left, so I think they're trying to squeeze every drop they can out of him before they have to make any kind of permanent decision, because I think he would get claimed off of waivers anyway.
Yeah, somebody will pick him up. At this point, I've almost like forgotten about him. Like, he's just you know,
again,
I feel bad, but, you know, he had his moments.
Yeah, again, with the depth, though, it's, you know, that's what's great about this team. I never would have thought there would have been this much depth this year. Even looking at the roster, it's still hard to imagine, but it's there. The statistics aren't lying.
No, he feels like the odd man out because Wade has just been so good, you know. It's like there's just no real reason to keep him around at this point, so.
Yeah.
I like you said, it's kind of surprising every week. You're like, wow, you made it through another week. Okay, good luck, buddy. You're gonna need to do something else amazing at some point. But
yeah. All right. So this morning, let me rewind a couple of weeks. I don't know if you guys saw it, but on Twitter there was a purported leak of the Nike City Connect jerseys for the Giants. Now, just for our listeners who may not be familiar with this program, there are seven teams selected this year to wear these special City Connect jerseys. And I'm not reading it from their website, but basically some frou-frou marketing campaign saying the design elements of all these jerseys will connect to the culture and or history of each city. So you had like the Red Sox were one of the first teams and they took the motif of the Boston Marathon. The colors are blue and yellow like the UCLA Bruins, and they had a specific font for the marathon. So they had these bright yellow jerseys with the Boston across the front. It was really weird. I thought they were pretty ugly, right? They have Miami with the, what was it, the Sugar Kings or whatever, I guess, you know, some Cuban baseball team. So they have these bright blue pinstripe jerseys. The White Sox had these really just all black with white pinstripes. And this
Southside.
Kind of like, yeah, Southside. And there's like this gang font in the front or whatever. Like yeah. Tony La Russa was wearing his hat to the side and playing around with it and stuff like that. So you have these various jerseys. And so this leak 2 weeks ago, I saw it and I laughed out loud. I was like, well, I mean, obviously that's a fake. I mean, because that is the most ridiculous, plain, knockoff looking, you know, made in China kind of horrendous jerseys that you can even imagine. I'm like, that's clearly someone's just playing. It's true. It freaking released it this morning, and it's exactly what was leaked in that photo from 2 weeks ago. So as I bring it up on the screen here, I am truly, truly, as a uniform guy, I follow sportslogos.net, I collect jerseys and hats. I am utterly ashamed and disappointed with this jersey. But as I bring it up here for our viewers at home, if you haven't had a chance to see it, for those of you listening to the audio podcast, if you hadn't seen it, just do a quick Google. But the quick description would be, it's basically an all-white jersey with a very skinny G over the left chest. And I was reading some of the design element reasons behind this. They wanted to tie into two main elements of San Francisco, one being the Golden Gate Bridge. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we've seen that in the World Series, you know, emblems and things like that. And number two was fog. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is a foggy city, but
I mean, they're not wrong that it's a foggy city, yeah. But I mean, Willie, as a spending almost your entire lifetime living in San Francisco and you being more familiar even with the city than I am, I just was incredulous that they chose fog as one of the design elements.
Fog is something that San Francisco is well known for, but it doesn't look good on a jersey, and it's not a thing that you can represent well. Like, so the way they did it is to kind of have it at the bottom of the numbers, and it just looks like they forgot to fill in the numbers.
That's
what it looked like to me.
It looked like to me, and I think there's some close-ups there. It looked to me like it's spray painted. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like someone was tagging, and this is a close-up of the edge of
it
that
It just doesn't,
tag.
From a distance, you can't really tell what the hell's going
that
on.
That doesn't look like fog. It looks like splashed paint.
That's how most people are
going to
see it. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just a bad idea. Like they should have seen it and then been like, well, maybe just ignore the fog thing. The bridge is enough. Because the bridge does look cool on the arm.
Yeah.
I do like that. That is sweet. I will say, though, at least the friggin' thing is orange. Because the damn red hats last night were pissing me off. I was watching the game on my phone, and I'm like, I couldn't tell who was hitting or you know what I mean? I was like, is that a Diamondback who just hit that? Is that a Giant? What the hell's going on? So, I mean, at least they got the color right. But, I'm not stoked on these, and I'm not gonna buy one.
I like them.
Oh, my God. Yes. Unpopular opinion.
Of course. The guy from the East Coast would like the
sleeves. I like them. I like the bridge, not only on the sleeves. They've got the bridge going on the hat. I kind of like the gradient aspect of the fog rising up. You know, it's something that you think about, the fog over the ground in the morning. I know it comes in late in the day as well. And, you know, I like that orange is a dominant theme without being all orange. I think this is the only way they could make orange a dominant theme, because there's no black on these uniforms.
It needs more black, dude. I'm sorry, but the Giants will be orange and the black. So
I mean, but it's the City Connect. You know what I mean? It's the quote-unquote. Yeah. You know, I've liked some of what Nike's done. I've hated some of what they've done. I shouldn't say I like it. I don't hate it. I guess I do. I kind of like it. You know, I think it's cool. It gives kind of a missed vibe, kind of a suspicious, like, you know, you're unsure about us vibe, and we'll come out of the fog and beat the crap out of you. And I don't mind the big G. It's like having the big G over your heart. You know what I mean?
No, I think the G is fine. It's just from a distance, it's just not going to look like. You're not going to get fog from that. You know what I mean?
That's fair. They should have put like Coit Tower in the middle of the G or something like that.
Or a cable car or something. I mean, they could have done cable many more San Francisco things other than fog.
So I'm showing a close up of the piping on their pants, right? Because that wasn't very obvious.
Oh, there's fog on the piping.
So here's an example of the it starts at more white at the bottom of the leg, right near the feet, and then it gets more orange as you go up the piping. And to me, it looks like it's like dirty or like someone dropped paint on it. Like it's like clean that. There's supposed to be orange piping, you know? Like make up your freaking mind, man.
You know it's funny.
I for one hate these jerseys. I just think they're awful.
What's funny?
Here we go. Here's the other Connect jerseys I'm bringing up on.
Oh yeah, these are the other teams. Yeah. See, some of them look like the Dodgers one is pretty cool.
No, the Dodgers ones they haven't revealed yet.
Oh, is that not the one on the bottom
left? That's the
D-backs. That's the D-backs.
Snakes across.
Oh, so the Dodgers one is just
Serpientes.
Okay. But the thing is, too, we never at Oracle Park, we don't ever see fog. That's not that part of the city doesn't get fog. We used to see it at Candlestick, but we don't see it at Oracle Park. So it's like not really part of their thing anymore anyway. Like the fog is really the other side of the city, like the Sunset District, all that stuff. Or when you go a little bit south and you get to like Daly City, Pacifica, that kind of area. So I agree, though, Chad. It's just not part of our identity anymore.
You're offended as a San Franciscan more than
I'm anything. Offended that they got the geography wrong and they somehow still think the fog ever has anything to do with Giants baseball.
So, like, if you look at all the six jerseys here, right, laid out, and I know not every jersey is going to be the same, obviously. They're going to make them different for every city. They're trying to make them unique. I get all that. But everyone has, you know, Boston, Miami, Southside, Wrigleyville, Serpientes across the chest, which is a traditional, you know, baseball motif, right? You get the name of the nickname or the city name across the chest. And I know the Giants have had their SF logo on the chest before. They got rid of that jersey, by the way. It's actually sitting behind my head, you know, the old classic. They've had the G for BP, the script G. This is the first time they're using this specific G. They wanted to make it look like one of the Golden Gate towers, which is why it's skinny. Skinnier than their fatter G, basically. But it's just, to me, it's just so much white, which I know, fog, whatever. But it's like blank. It's like a softball uniform and someone just slapped a dirty G on it. And they're like, done! You know what I mean? Like, the rest of them have more character and more fill. And this is just white with this dirty G on it. I don't know. It's just... And I'm with you, Willie. The traditional... I know, like, Boston went with a blue and yellow because of the marathon. Miami, the sugar canes. So they're not all going with their current color scheme. I understand that. Serpientes for snakes or whatever. But, you know, the Giants have always been black and orange, black and orange, black and orange. And there's zero black in it. And I know they did it as a conscious decision. It just looks so absent to me. I think, for me, if they kept this design motif, but it said Giants across the front... then I think it would have been filled in a little bit better. It wouldn't have looked so blank to me.
Yeah, no. The other thing, too, is I've always kind of thought of the Giants' color as being black and orange being the other color. know what I mean? Not the main color. So whatever. It's all what it's, you know, we got to watch it one day a week when it's a home game. Is that what the deal is?
So they are. Yeah, they're going to wear it all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Nationals, and then every home Tuesday game for the rest of the season. So
it's got to be like four games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be many.
The you talked about that SF logo one. I will always fondly remember that because that was Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those guys are wearing those jerseys. So that, and maybe some amazing things will happen in these jerseys, and then I will fondly remember them.
All right. So, Eric, you briefly mentioned, since we're on uniform watch right now. Look, growing up, I love sitting down and watching the All-Star game every year. And one of my favorite times of the game is actually during the player introductions, in which the players line up on each baseline. And one team's got their homes, you know, their whites or creams, and the other team, sometimes they're solid colors now, and the other team's got their road grays or, of course, road solid colors. I love the mix. I love being able to call out a specific player just on the jersey, right? Like, oh, that's Derek Jeter, and that's, you know, this guy, and that's that guy. Or if it's your own guy, right? Like when Will Clark made it, or in years after that, it's like, oh, there's that guy, and we're representing the city in that Giants uniform. This is so freaking awesome. Well, MLB decided to go ahead and follow suit like the NBA and the NFL and the NHL. They used to wear the All-Star jersey during batting practice and the Home Run Derby. But that was just a few guys, right, that you would really be prominently shown on TV. They've decided to swap it. Now during BP and the Home Run Derby, they're going to wear their own uniforms. Now during the game, they're going to wear the sanctioned All-Star uniforms. I don't like the break in tradition because I like seeing the field full of different jerseys. That's a very just nostalgic, unique thing that baseball has always done. So that's one reason why I hate this decision. But number two, these jerseys are horrendous. Again,
yeah, they're really bad.
Just absolutely horrendous. And for those of you who haven't seen it, go Google it if you're listening to the audio podcast. But all it is again, it's a lot of empty space, just like the G's. So the whole right side is empty white. Or for the American League this year, it's a dark blue. And on the left chest, it's like some weird futuristic, just SFG. You're going to have the three-letter city code of every team going down in red. And then the blue traditional logo laid on top of those three-letter code. So it looks like someone messed up at the printer. You know what I mean? Like, it's like getting a proof from the printer going, oh, no, you guys, you overlaid the logo on top of the other logo. These are supposed to be separated. And I'm going to scroll down here for our viewers that are watching. Oh, this is the wrong one.
It's like when you misclick in a Word document and everything gets all moved around inside of it. That's what it looks like.
Oh, man.
And what's with the sleeves and the trim? What is this floral pattern? It's freaking Colorado. I mean, like, do a mountain pattern or something like that.
So the hats aren't as offensive to me anyway. They're these all-star looking hats here.
So they just put a star behind
it. They put a star behind it and made it at purple. But a lot of people are questioning why the jerseys and the hats have a lot of blue and red in them. And the inside story that's been kind of leaked out but not confirmed is because the all-star game was originally going to be in Atlanta, they were using the Braves colors of blue and red. And so there was very little they could do to change. And they were able to somehow, you know, change the star on the hats to a purple. But the red logo is staying there. And then the jerseys themselves have red three-letter code with the blue logo on top, which, again, are Atlanta Braves colors. I don't know what that has to do with the floral pattern on their sleeves.
Maybe the floral is like magnolias or some crap like that.
Perhaps, because all this stuff is designed and orders are made and, you know, produced long before MLB made the decision to move the game. So I think they had to kind of go with this. But regardless of the colors, I just think, I don't know what MLB is doing, man. I said, you know, guys on second base to start extra innings and intentional walks and I don't know. It's just, I don't like this. I'm sounding like an old man. Get off my lawn.
A little bit. I think what we should do for the All-Star game is start every inning with a runner on second and third base.
Oh, my God. 15-10 is the final score. Sounds like one of my old All-Star games. Our tradition back in the day was because we got to – growing up, we got to have regular major league teams as our teams. So every year for the All-Star game, the fun little thing that we all did was we switched hats. So there could be somebody in a Giants jersey and a Rangers cap pitching to you. It was just kind of our way of like putting our own little like stamp on the game and stuff like that. You just like trade hats with other people and guys that you like from around the league. And then you'd get your hat back at the end. But I don't know why. That was something we started doing in Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
This is great. Obviously, Twitter roasted these uniforms. Actually, my first thought was like this guy here, John Alba, who referenced these jerseys are from that turn ahead the clock promotion they had. Remember that like 25 years ago? And he's got the side by side with Ken Griffey with the sleeveless jerseys and all that. That's what kind of reminded me of it too. They got Kevin from Home Alone reacting to one of them. They got a lot of good stuff. Anyway, long story short, social media has not appreciated both the All-Star jerseys nor the Giants City Connect. So I don't know how you measure success in these things. I guess it's sales, right? They'll look at the sales of these jerseys and know if they
miss. I mean, that's got to be the reason why they're using them in the game. It's just now it's an opportunity to showcase them, you know.
Yeah.
The day when most people actually watch.
So. Yeah, not the home run derby, right? So
yeah.
Oh well, it is what it is.
I don't know. Although I feel the home run derby is going to get. Watch, yeah.
I know. Yeah. This year. But I mean, you know, in general, right? You'd expect the ratings are higher for the actual game itself, but whatever. It's clearly a marketing decision, and it's dumb. And I hope
in
it
the end, fires. It's just some cloth on their back. Whatever.
Pretty much.
Just that. Just we'll care more about what happens on the field. So all right, let's get to. Yeah, let's get to who's hot and who's not. Eric, why don't you go ahead and take this over because you entered these.
All right, I was looking over the last week, so this would be the Dodger and Arizona series. Crawford was 8 for 20. He had 3 extra base hits. And hits, interestingly enough, he had a single double, a triple, and a homer. He had one of each. But he scored 5 runs over the last week. Estrada has been 4 for 12 since coming up with that grand slam we highlighted earlier. I got to give love to Kirk Casale. He is 3 for his last 8 with 2 doubles in his last 6 games. I guess that weekend series last week against Oakland really got him going. And then another shout out to Jose Alvarez in the bullpen. The guy threw 3 2/3 innings this past week, only gave up 1 hit, 7 Ks, no runs.
Yeah, that's solid, man.
Yeah, he came in. He had a 2-inning stint, I think, in one of the games, and he came in and he really helped shut the door. The Giants' bullpen has just been phenomenal lately, so I had to find one guy in there to at least highlight.
They've been incredible. I mean, that was one of their biggest issues all the way up until really the beginning of June and all of June, and now in July, they have just dominated. They've actually been one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. So, I mean, they really turned it around quickly, and now they're – bullpen ERA is actually up near the top of the league, so they've done that's a crazy lot over the last 30 days. I know it is it's insane. But that's,
I mean, they really did just make the moves they had to make. Some guy wasn't working out, he's gone. New guy comes in. All right, you're working, so now you stay. And like now we're kind of got a bunch of guys who work, and it feels like we have guys for every situation too, which feels really good. You know, if we need a bullpen game, it feels like we have guys we know we can go to in like the fourth, fifth inning. And actually get a couple out of, and then in the late innings, it's like if we need to do matchups, we could do matchups. If we just want to do a 7, 8, 9 guy, we could do that too. We have a guy for each inning at that point. So it's just it feels like all the pieces are in place. I will say I don't think Kepler utilizes it the way Bochy was a master of the bullpen, but right. You can't really argue with the numbers. It's working, whatever he's doing. So.
Well, he kind of scaled back on Rogers as his full-time closer, went to McGee for a while. That seemed to work out. And I still wonder, and I think we'll talk about it more on our next episode or the episode after that when the trade deadline's coming up. And I still wonder if they want to add another arm to the bullpen, somebody like a Craig Kimbrell, because the Cubs are reeling and they're going to be sellers soon, to shore up that back end. I mean, it's not that they don't need the help, you know, not need the help. They're leading in WHIP. They have the third best ERA. It's been a lot better than we expected, but it'd be nice to have somebody on the back end shutting it down. So, you know, still it was a weakness. It's something that was highlighted in that first game against the Mariners that they lost. And we thought it was going to be a problem all year. And so it's kind of nice to see the bullpen performing just so darn well.
Yeah. And that's something I fully expect Farhan to tinker with, but he is definitely not going to pull the trigger on any major move, giving up prospects. He's definitely set this thing up. I mean, I'm not going to say that he didn't think the Giants couldn't be a playoff team this year. I'm sure deep down he was thinking, you know, I think we could get the wild card or whatever. I think winning the West might have been, you know, more than he would have thought. But he still has this 2-3 year plan down the road, and he's not going to dismantle it for this year. So I think he's going to let the cards fall where they may. If it's a wild card, it's a wild card, and we'll move forward. But with some of these prospects coming up, and maybe with some shrewd signings he might make in the offseason, with more batters wanting to come here, with the fences moved in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I mean, this could be a really formidable team. It is right now, but an even more so in a couple of years. So, yeah, I do expect him to tinker, but, you know, hopefully not give up the farm for a
while. Don't please don't sell out the next decade for this season, because this is also, no matter how good the Giants have been this season, this is an anomaly that the Dodgers and the Padres are both this good at the same exact time, right? So
yeah,
I would like to see us, you know, kind of pull ahead of them over the next 10 years, start getting a few more championships under our belt,
just a few more.
Well, there's nothing Farhan's done to show us that he's going to trade away.
Yeah, exactly.
He's good at evaluating talent himself, so I think that that's really what helps the Giants on that aspect. And I can shift to who's not. I didn't really throw any much on here because, I mean, Dick is 2 for his last 16. I didn't even mention Slater in the who's hot because he could have been in the who's not for the first half of the week and then the who's hot for the second half of the week. Because Slater going 4 for 41 and then hitting those dingers, that was like a total 180. But anyway, who's not? Dick is 2 for his last 16, even though he did homer and contribute to a win. Cap keeps putting him in the four hole for some reason, and I don't know. It's been frustrating to watch because Dick has looked overmatched at the plate. He looks like he's guessing, like literally on every single pitch. There's been two or three at-bats he's gone out there and waved like three times in a row, and it doesn't look like he has any clue what's coming. So, I mean, he's had a rough – he'll get a break tonight or today because they'll be facing a lefty, so he won't be starting today. And probably neither will Duggar, who's 4 for his last 19. This is, again, over the last six games against the Dodgers and the D-backs. So, for as good as Duggar was doing on that last homestand, he kind of disappeared from the offense this past week.
But when Dickerson first got back from being injured, he was hot.
Yeah, well, he went 3 for 3 off Ohtani, and then he had, like, one hit for the next week.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just it feels like Kapler just didn't get the memo as fast as the Giants fans did that he was no longer hot.
Right.
He kept thinking maybe this time. Maybe.
Like, no offense to Dick, he's still a good hitter, but he shouldn't have been hitting fourth these last couple games. Like, he should have been down in sixth or seventh. You know, lengthen the lineup a little bit. Don't stick a struggling Dick in the four hole.
Not another show title.
Yeah.
Dickerson. Oh, you tempt me, Eric.
At least I didn't say five hole.
All right. Before we wrap up here, I know you referenced it real quick. I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole since we're talking about holes, Willie. But Trevor Bauer is in a little bit of hot water, obviously. He's been suspended by the league for 7 games to investigate the sexual abuse allegations from a woman that he apparently met on Instagram, and they had what his camp calls consensual sex, including a lot of forceful acts, which they've pretty much admitted happened, but that she wanted those things to happen. And of course, she's got a bunch of doctors, evidence and photographs and text messages and all sorts of stuff to back up her claim. So we don't know where this is going to go. But the Dodgers clearly didn't do anything about it, and it had to go all the way up to MLB. And there's been a lot of quotes from local, police officers saying, if it wasn't such a high-profile case, this guy would already be in jail. Because typically when this kind of evidence comes out, they lock him up, and then they get out on bail. But then, you know, of course, court proceedings happen. So we don't have to get into all the details, but it's an unfortunate situation if it is true. Yes, I know it's the Dodgers and we're not fans of Trevor Bauer, but you know, you don't want to see this black eye on baseball. You don't want to see this kind of conduct with someone who has this kind of fame and power that they really do over, they can abuse this power. Let me put it that way. And you don't want to see this, you know, from people who are in those positions. So yeah, from a Giants perspective, maybe it's good news. He's going to miss a start or two, but, overall, just not good for the game.
Not good. Well, for I mean, and also if this
the
is true,
woman,
this, this would mean something horrible happened to somebody and that really sucks.
Exactly.
Now I will say this. There are people who like what apparently went down. So it's not a completely, impossible thought that, you know,
not at all.
Somebody changed their mind after the fact or, you know, something along those lines or something like that. So, but I mean, I'll just say let the
or she got ghosted and wants revenge and
I'm not going to assume that. I'm just going to assume that she's got a reason to feel this way. I mean, she's doing all the things legally that you know you should do in a situation like this. So she seems credible to me at this moment. But again, MLB's we don't know the whole ins and outs. You know,
MLB stepping in instead of the Dodgers handling it is really where my eyebrows get raised. I was surprised when news first leaked that they said that, you know, Bauer's still on the active roster and we're going to go ahead with
you know, keeping him there. And then finally, 2 days, I think, before his next start, MLB is like, no, we're going to put him on this little list for a little bit. And yeah. Bauer didn't even appeal it or anything like that. He's just like, okay, and, you know, go take care of it so that it's mm-hmm. not, you know, something that is hurtful to anybody overall at all. So, you know, it's always unfortunate when this kind of stuff pops up. It really is. And you don't want to see, like you said, Willie, you know, the woman, she's, you know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt in this situation, you know, regardless if it's, you know, how it came to be.
Yeah. I mean, and if it turns out he is, you know, some sort of monster, like we need him to get caught. You know what I mean?
We
need him not to be out there doing this to people. So
absolutely.
It's like, I'm glad it's being investigated and hopefully it's investigated properly. But
yeah, it'll be interesting.
Unexpected.
Sure. It was. I mean, because it definitely the criminal investigation was going forward, and you're like, well, LA, you know, the Dodgers, are you going to do anything about this? Like you said, MLB stepped in. They've suspended him for 7 games while they investigate this. So if they're doing this over a week time, it's like, what's going to be their threshold of evidence to make a decision either way, right? Like, mm-hmm. well, there's not enough. So you're just back and go ahead and start and let the criminal investigation continue and let due process take its course? Or are they going to flip the other way? Is their threshold of evidence going to be less than a court of law, which it generally is, right? Mm-hmm. To say, oh, you're suspended for the rest of the year while we get more information on this. But you're definitely guilty of to a certain extent, or you've shown character flaws that are, you know, demeaning of what you signed up for as a major league ball player. We can't have you representing us for right now. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Cause you know, guys like, you know, teams like the 49ers, when they were putting guys routinely on leave or suspending them all the time for,
we had a dark era there, didn't we?
For just alleged cases, yeah. Right. Where they did their own internal investigation.
Yeah, they were, again, those were pretty credible. It's just, it was kind of weird how they were handling it. They were just like, sweep this guy under the rug and this guy under the rug. Let's pretend that never happened. And, you know, keep it real hush-hush. I think the surprising thing to me is just, it's not the name I expected for something like this to come out. Because he's such a, you know, he's so out there. The blog and the you know, then the tweeting and the interviews, and like he just seems like one of those, he's very exposed, and it's like, oh man, there's some dark shit going on in the background under here, because the stuff that I, when I read it, I was like, oh my god,
yeah, they didn't like, deny that true. Those acts didn't happen, they I were know. Just saying she wanted right. that, which is yeah. like, okay, so Trevor Bauer's actually doing that.
He's into that like, kind of stuff, I guess.
He's yeah. wow.
Look, and if it is consensual,
know, you know. No, I didn't need to know that. Yeah. yeah. Hey, whatever you want to do on your business, that's fine.
Right. It's like... Totally good with that.
But the thing is, with stuff like this, if that is the kind of thing that he's into, he needs to be responsible about it. You know what I mean? Like, I know people who are into like hardcore BDSM stuff, and it's a very, you know, it's a very weird, wild world that they live in, but there's like a lot of this, there's a lot of rules, and he's not following the freaking rules, you know what I mean? And that's problematic, man, if that's the case. So, you know, he needs to like educate himself if it is meant to be consensual. If it's not, Jesus Christ, get this man out of here, you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, like, God, if you are into this stuff, people, be very cautious.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone is on the same page.
Is this on has been board. A public service announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The more you know. All right. Well, coming up, the Giants are back home today. They got opening up a 3-game series against the Cardinals. I'm actually going to be going to tomorrow night's game with my kids. We're going to go sit in the nosebleeds and have some fun there. And then they welcome. I accidentally put Pittsburgh in the notes. I meant Washington. Then they come and play against the Washington Nationals. They'll be wearing their City Connect jerseys, and it looks like I'll be going to Friday night's game to cover that. And I'm excited because this will be my first time being able to cover a game since they lifted some of the restrictions. So
no mask.
Going in the dugout to interview Kapler, going on the field for BP. But they still don't allow access to the clubhouse, which is understandable. And in fact, I don't expect that probably for the rest of this year. That probably won't happen until next year.
But you won't have to wear a mask. I was informed yesterday that you won't be having to wear a mask in the Giants press box anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because that is kind of annoying.
I mean, bring it with. Don't 100% go with.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, yeah. I heard it from a reporter friend of mine who said that, you know, he doesn't have to wear a mask when he goes to cover games this week.
Yeah. 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 One of our friends was saying that to get on the field and the dugout, you still, for reporters, at least as of last week or the last homestand, you had to show your vaccination status. But yeah, I don't know even know if that's changed. But if you're even close to Gabe Kapler and other Giants staff, I would imagine they'd still want to see that. But anyway. I'll report back on that next week when we come back on Monday to record episode 231.
The idea is that they're all vaxxed, right? So like,
right.
You know what I mean? I was watching one of the John Boy videos the other day, and it was the pitcher got ejected after the first pitch. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was, he threw it Acuna and they ejected him the very first pitch of the game. And you got Mattingly and whatever the umpire was just screaming and yelling at each other. And I'm just like, this is just, I can't help but just go, you guys are just throwing COVID right at each other from like an inch away. And I mean, yeah. I'm sure they're all vaxxed up, but still, it's so funny now. Like that's how our brains are all wired to work at this point is like, hey guys, do that from 6 feet apart. You know?
Yeah.
Still like, you know, I'm not wearing the mask. I got the new job. All of the staff is vaxxed up, so we're not wearing masks there. Also, it's Texas. But I still feel like, you know, I'm washing my hands a lot. And I'm like, I've heard about this Delta variant.
Well, there still are a lot of, you know, more than you would think, a lot of breakthrough cases. It is. Yeah. It's getting to be like 3 to 5% of those vaccinated, which is, you know, what they said. It's about 95% effective. Yep. So now it reduces the severity of the disease. But the point is that you can still get it and you can still spread it. So even though CDC is not recommending or not saying you should wear a mask, they're saying, or you have to wear a mask. They're saying, you know, it doesn't matter.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I still walk around with it in my pocket. Yeah.
When I go to the grocery store and public places, I'm still slapping it on, even though I'm vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I figure it doesn't hurt. It's not like I'm gasping for air, you know? It's like not a big deal. Now, my son,
it never hurts.
He's still 11, so he's not vaccinated yet. He can't be until they get that in there. So we're going to a Giants game. Well, this is the last series, the Cardinals series, in which they're going to have distanced seats. And they have them in just two sections, way up in the third deck, down the left field line, and then down behind the left field fence in like 326 and 330. So I talked to my wife, and she, and to me, and to a certain extent, are not 100% comfortable with him sitting there if it's a fully full section of people yelling and screaming and, you know, all around him.
Sure.
So we said, okay, for this game, we're going to go ahead and pull the trigger on the distant seats. So it's like at the back of the stadium, at the third deck, but you know, sitting right by us. So
it's a beautiful view from there.
It is.
And you'll still have a great time, but yeah, how bad would you feel though? If you like, it's like you step out right at the end, everything's whatever. And then he gets sick. You know what I mean? It's like,
this is the thing that's like a lot
of people don't understand. It's like, it's not about like, we're not all a bunch of pussies. It's just, we're just trying to be smart. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, people who don't wear seatbelts are pussies, you know?
We all know that. Yeah, you fly through that front window, dude. Come on.
Take it like a
man. Fly through that front window like a man.
Take that glass to the face.
That's what a real American does.
Take out those airbags, too. What do you need them for?
It's kind of one of those things. It's like
hard things.
Science has given us the tools for protection. If they're not crazy restrictive, it's like, you know what? Maybe I'll use them. We can still go to a Giants game. It's all good.
If you need a thrill, go cliff diving. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need a thrill every time I step outside with my open mouth and throat, you know? So
it's all right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 230 of the Torchcast. You can follow us collectively at Torchcast on Twitter. Check out our episodes at torchcast.com or your favorite audio podcast feed. We'll be coming to you live on Facebook roughly around 12:15 every Monday, give or take a day. Live on Facebook, you can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits with the number 2 for Eric, and at Willie Dills for Willie. Speaking of Willie, you got anything going on right now?
No, I got a new job, so there's not going to be a lot of streaming for the foreseeable future. My schedule looks pretty locked in, as like every single weekend I'll be working from here on until who knows when. Which also means I'm going to be doing a lot of what Ty does, which is watching the Giants game after work on like the replay. You know what I mean? So not live. Nice. Which,
yeah,
no, whatever. I've been kind of spoiled because this good season happened during a period of my life where I was unemployed. I got to watch a lot of baseball. That is no longer the case. So, it's going to be harder to keep up with the Giants, but I'll still be tweeting a lot at Willie Dills. Check me out there. Just don't expect a lot of Twitch streams for a while.
And Eric,
feel free to text
chatter.
Us. Yeah. Feel free to text us when you're doing the rewatch later on, Willie, because we'll still be up. It's 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Pretty much watch every, I try to watch every game. Some days you fall asleep because it's 108 degrees. Some days you stay awake and watch the game. I mean, that's literally the only reason, you know, you're tired from being in the heat for an hour.
Yeah.
But join Giants Chatter over on Facebook. We have game threads, live streams, talking about, you know, probably Thursday we'll have something talking about the Nat series, you know, catching up on the Cardinals series and things just all about that. I have some other job news that I want to share, but I'm going to wait a couple of weeks to make sure everything gets locked up 100%. So, but there should be some really, really fun, exciting reporting news coming up in the next few weeks.
Sweet. Yeah. It'll be good to hear. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 230. Everyone, hope you had a safe 4th of July weekend. Have a great week and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.